Mark chapter number 7, we're going to read verses 1 through 8, and then we'll go to the Lord in prayer. Mark chapter number 7. I'll give you just a moment to find that. Verse number 1, the Bible said, "Then came together unto him the Pharisees and certain of the scribes, which came from Jerusalem. And when they saw some of his disciples eat bread with defiled, that is to say, unwashing hands, they found fault. For the Pharisees and all the Jews, except they wash their hands oft, eat not, holding the tradition of the elders. And when they come from the market, except they wash, they eat not. And many other things there be, which they have received to hold, as the washing of cups and pots, brazen vessels, and of tables. Then the Pharisees and scribes asked him, Why walk not thy disciples according to the tradition of the elders, but eat bread with unwashing hands? He answered and said unto them, Well hath Isaiah prophesied," that's talking about Isaiah, he's quoting from the book of Isaiah, "Well hath Isaiah prophesied of you hypocrites, as it is written, This people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. For laying aside the commandment of God, ye hold the tradition of men, as the washing of pots and cups, and many other such like things ye do." Let's pray. Lord, we come today, and I am thankful to be here, and I'm thankful for the good songs that we've heard, and just the opportunity to be in your house and meet and worship together today, and we're thankful for the beautiful day. We ask that you would speak to our hearts from the Word of God, and that you would make it real and real to our heart. I pray that it would help us. I pray it would help us to understand what in the world is going on in our world today. There's so much confusion, there's so much hatred and division, and Lord, so many things are going on. And like that first song we sang today, revive us again, Lord. That's the hope for our nation in this world. We need a revival of the things of God, and turning again to the Lord Jesus Christ. So Lord, I pray that you'd help us today. Don't let anything hinder in the service. Thank you for each and every one that's here. Please protect us and watch over us and keep us and help us as only you can. Thank you for the soul that was saved, and I pray there'd be many others, even today, that you'd speak to somebody's heart and show them their great need of salvation. We'll thank you for all that you do. We ask these things in Jesus' name, and amen. All right, let's read verses 1 and 2 again, starting Mark chapter number 7, verse number 1. The Bible said, "Then came together unto him the Pharisees and certain of the scribes which came from Jerusalem. And when they saw some of his disciples eat bread with defiled, that is to say, with unwashing hands, they found fault." Let me say this morning, wherever you find people gather together, wherever you find people, you're going to have problems. You're going to have problems. No such thing as a perfect church. If you're looking for one, you're going to be sadly disappointed. And the reason there's no perfect church in this world is because churches are made up of people. And wherever you have people, you have problems. It just comes with the territory. There's no such thing as a perfect job, because jobs are made up of people, and wherever you find people, you have problems. There's no such thing as a perfect school or even a perfect family. You know, on the outside, you may look at a family, you may look at a husband and wife, and you may say, man, they just the perfect couple. They're just the perfect little family there. Well, I guarantee you, if you could go behind the walls and all the get out of the spotlight, guess what you'd find? They're not perfect. No such thing. Wherever you have people, you have problems. And everywhere you go, there are problems, because everywhere you go, there are people. And the Lord Jesus Christ was continually among the people. His ministry was not some recluse man on a mountaintop, nobody getting close. His whole ministry was among the people. He was continually out there. Nothing the Lord Jesus Christ did, he did in secret. He had a very public, a very open ministry. Yes, he spent the majority of the time with the disciples, but he and the disciples were out there among the multitudes. Wherever he went, multitudes of people gathered together. And so the Lord Jesus in his ministry, if you notice, everywhere he goes, there's problems. Everywhere he goes, he's dealing with problems. He deals with problems in the Pharisees, the people, even among the disciples. They disputed among themselves and they didn't always get along and they got aggravated one with another. Everywhere you find the Lord Jesus goes, he is continually running into problems. Our world today is plagued with problems. We have problems in society. We have problems in our government. Our government has problems with other countries. There's no end to the problems. They're everywhere. Communities have problems that are going on. The economy is plagued with problems right now. And on and on and on we could go. And I want to try to preach today on the subject the Lord laid on my heart. And I don't want you to get discouraged right off the bat. But what I want to preach on is this subject: problems, problems, problems. You ever heard somebody say, it's always something? Kim said that the other day. It's always something. I told her yesterday, I said, went out and got in my pickup, my windshield's broke. Just spent a bunch of money to fix something underneath. And the thought come to my mind, now I'll probably break a windshield. And honest to goodness, the next time I got him up, and I hadn't moved the thing. I went in, my windshield's broke. Told somebody, I said, the power of my mind done that. And I told Kim about it, and she went out and investigated. Come back, it's always something. It's always something, always problems. Seems like problems, problems, problems. Well, we are not alone in the problems that are going on in our world. The Lord Jesus Christ had problems, and there's three problems here in Mark chapter number 7 that I want to point out to you today. First of all, in the first 8 verses we read already this morning, first of all, there was a Pharisee problem. Look what the Bible says in verse number 2. And when they saw some of his disciples eat bread, now this is the Pharisees. Verse 1 said, they came together unto him the Pharisees and certain of the scribes. And when they saw some of his disciples eat bread with defiled, that is to say, with unwashing hands, they found fault. Now, here, if you imagine in your mind what was going on, and so the Lord Jesus is there with the Pharisees, and the Pharisees see Jesus and the disciples, and here they are, and they begin to eat lunch, or, you know, they're eating there, and the disciples, I can just see them, boys, shaking their head. Mm-mm-mm. Them disciples eating, didn't wash their hands. That's literally what was going on there. Can you believe that the disciples would eat and not wash their hands first? That's what happened. And the Bible says that they found fault in that. Now, I've always been a big hand washer. Some people aren't. Some people are. I always have been. I think that's a good thing. I'm not going to preach against, you know, we ought to be like the disciples and eat without washing their hands. No, I wash my hands. That's a good thing. That's a biblical thing, you know. There's nothing wrong with washing your hands. And especially in the past couple of months, I think everybody has probably upped their hand washing in their lives. You know, I know that I have. I've probably washed the fingerprints off my hands. When we were having church at home and I was preaching in the living room just to the camera, you know what I'd done? As soon as I got done preaching, I'd go wash my hands. I just feel like after church you ought to wash your hands, and I wasn't shaking hands with anybody. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with washing your hands, but to the Pharisees, to eat, to operate in your life and not wash your hands was a real big deal to them. And you find that they found fault when they saw that the disciples were eating and they did not wash their hands. If you look here in verses 4 and 5, what the Bible says, and when they come from the market, this is talking about the Jews, the Pharisees, when they come from the market, now when they come back from Walmart, you understand what's going on in the market. They went down there and bought their groceries. When they come back from the market, except they wash, they eat not, and many other things there be, which they have received to hold, as the washing of cups and pots, brazen vessels, and of tables. Then the Pharisees and scribes ask him, why walk not thy disciples according to the tradition of the elders, but eat bread with unwashing hands? This was a big deal to them that everything was washed and clean, and you know, that's great. Let me point out this morning, really what they were just doing was looking for an excuse to find fault with the Lord Jesus. If you are looking to find fault with somebody, you'll find it. That's all they really were after, was that they were looking to find fault with the Lord Jesus Christ. Their problem, talking about the Pharisees' problem, their problem was they were fault finders. They hated Jesus. They hated that people were following him. They hated that he was bucking their authority. They despised him. And boy, they're looking for any little thing to find fault with the Lord Jesus. And now, look, they found it. Here they are. They're eating and they didn't wash their hands. Now, those of you that have been in our Wednesday night Bible study, you know, a few weeks ago in Galatians chapter 6, verse number 1, we found out, and I preached on the subject, really, we ought to be fault fixers. Brethren, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one. If a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of meekness, considering thyself also, lest thou also be tempted. We that are saved by the grace of God, if we are walking and being led by the Spirit of God and manifesting the fruit of the Spirit in our lives, we ought to be on the lookout to fix faults. But the Pharisees, with the total opposite spirit in their heart, all they're interested in is finding fault. Finding fault with the Lord Jesus. They were not interested in truth, or they would have received the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. They weren't interested in the truth. They were not interested in the Messiah. They were not interested truly in what the Bible said about the Messiah. They were not interested in others. Remember a few Sundays ago, I preached on that man in John chapter number 9, and he was blind, and the Lord healed him on the Sabbath day, and it made them mad because he healed on the Sabbath day. And they said, are there not six other days you could heal somebody on? What kind of statement is that? Jesus healed a man that was blind. They didn't care about the blind man. They immediately put him on trial. You remember what he said? I don't know who he is, but I know I was blind, but now I see. Praise the Lord. But the Pharisees, what was their problem? They're continually, they're fault finders, continually wanted to trip up, and they tried to ask him questions to catch him in his words, the Bible says. All they were really interested in was their little monopoly on religion, their authority over the people to continue on. And the Lord Jesus coming along with all this truth and light and love, it was rocking their boat. So what do? They try to destroy the Lord Jesus Christ and find fault. It reminds me a whole lot. Guess what it reminds me of? It reminds me of the news media. I think I was talking to my brother this morning first, and then I said it to somebody here today. You know, if you didn't watch the news, you wouldn't know there's much wrong in the world. Boy, you watch the news just a little bit, and what is it mainly made up of? Not facts, not here's what you need to know. Here's what it's mainly made up of, and I don't care what channel or what network you watch. It's the same thing. Nobody can do anything right. Don't agree exactly with me. Fault finding. You're wrong. You're to blame. How dare you say this? How dare you? And on, man, I can't take but about 5 minutes of it. And then I'm in a foul spirit. You know, the Democrats could not be pleased with anything the Republicans do, and the Republicans can't be pleased with anything the Democrats do. It's just fault find. See, what I'm saying this morning, the problem is not just a Pharisee problem. It's a problem today. All in our country, all in our society. Politicians can't be satisfied. They're continually finding fault with one another. Hollywood and on, everybody's looking to blame someone. And I think we need to ask ourselves the question today, as God's people, am I a fault finder or am I a fault fixer? You know, some people can't be pleased with anything anybody else does. Nothing's ever good enough. Nothing is ever satisfying. It's always could have been done differently. Well, that's how the Pharisees were. That's a Pharisaical spirit, to continually find fault with everybody and everything under the sun. But I want you to see this morning in Mark chapter number 7 that this problem progresses. There's problems. Now the Pharisees had a problem and they were fault finders. But I want you to read on down with me this morning, and I want you to see that after he talked a little bit to the Pharisees, he went away from them. And look what the Bible says in verse number 13. So first of all, there's Pharisee problem. Second of all, this morning, there's a people problem. Look at verse 13. Jesus said to them, making the word of God of none effect through your tradition, which ye have delivered, and many such like things do ye. Jesus was talking to the Pharisees, and he basically said to them, you guys got a lot of problems. It's not just the washing of the hands, but there's all kinds of things that they were doing like that. Look at verse 14. And when he had called all the people unto him, he said unto them, hearken unto me, every one of you, and understand. So what the Lord Jesus does in verse number 14, he gathers all the people and he says, I want you to hearken or hear or listen to what I've got to say, but don't just hear, understand. There's a difference, you know, hearing and hearing with understanding. Jesus said to these people, I want you to listen to me and I want you to understand what I'm saying. Verse number 15, he said, there is nothing from without a man that entering into him can defile him. But the things which come out of him, those are they that defile the man. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. He leaves the Pharisees. He calls the people together. He says in verse 14, I want you to hear what I'm saying. I want you to understand. Then again, verse number 15, here's what he wants them to hear and understand. There's nothing from without a man that entering into him can defile him. But the things which come out of him, those are they that defile the man. So the Lord Jesus to these people, see, these people, they saw what went on with the Pharisees. There's always people around. They heard the conversation, they saw the Pharisees find fault, and they saw the Pharisees say to Jesus, you know, basically, what's wrong with your disciples? Why aren't they washing their hands? Why aren't they following the tradition of the elders? And so Jesus says to these people, regarding what you just witnessed, regarding what just went on, in case any of you have any misunderstanding about what just happened, he said, I want you to know something. It's not what enters into a man that defiles a man. It's not that they ate with their hands unwashed and now all of a sudden they're defiled. He said, I want you to understand, that's not what defiles a person. It's what comes out of a person. That's what he wanted those people to understand, because they would have held what the Pharisees had to say. They would have given weight to that. Maybe the Pharisees got a point. But Jesus gets those people over there and he says, I want you to understand what just happened. It's not the washing hands that's the problem. That's not what makes you unclean. It's what comes out of you. That's what you need to understand. That'd be good for us to understand today. Amen. But then I want you to notice, and you find this phrase over and over and over again in the Bible. Verse number 16, he said, if any man have ears to hear, let him hear. You know, everybody don't understand everything they hear. Some people do, a lot of people don't. And he just said to them, if any man has ears to hear, let him hear. Our problem today is that we hear, but we do not understand. That was their problem. It's our problem today. What's our problem? We hear the truth, but we don't understand the truth sometimes. It was a problem in Jesus' day. Look over in chapter 8, verse number 8, what the Bible says. I'll show you. There's other places Jesus referred to the same thing. Chapter 8, verse number 8, we see, but we don't see. Chapter 8, verse 8. It's not verse 8, it's verse 18. Look what he said. Having eyes, see ye not. And having ears, hear ye not. And do ye not remember? See, they had a problem. They heard, but they didn't hear. They saw, but they didn't see. We're the same way. Look over in chapter 8, verse number 31, what the Bible says. Chapter 8, verse 31, Jesus said, and he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and of the chief priests and scribes and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. Right here, Jesus starts teaching the disciples that he's going to go to Jerusalem. The elders, the religious leaders, they are going to kill him. And the third day, he's going to rise again. He started teaching that to them. Look over in chapter 10, verse 34. He didn't just teach it one time. He taught it many times. Chapter 10, verse 34. And they shall mock him and shall scourge him and shall spit upon him and shall kill him. And the third day he shall rise again. Now let me ask you something. Why weren't the disciples standing at the tomb on the third day? Why didn't they go out there and wait for Jesus to rise again on the third day? I know they believed him. But I don't believe they understood what he was saying. They saw him, they heard him, but they didn't see and they didn't hear. Why weren't they there on the third day? Why was it so hard for them to understand? Why did the news have to be brought to the disciples that Mary said, I saw him? What's wrong with them? What's wrong with us? Why in the Lord's name would any of us be surprised that our world is in a mess? Preachers have preached the Bible for years and years and years and said, it's coming, it's coming, it's coming. Things are going to change. We're likely to be persecuted. Yet we sit around and scratch our heads and say, I don't know what's going on. I don't know why the government's trying to tell everybody, you know, you can go to Walmart and you can go to Lowe's, go everywhere else, but churches need to not meet together. No, there's no conspiracy there. Just go back to sleep. Everything's all right. We've said and said and said. Well, what's wrong with us? We hear, but we don't hear. We see, but we don't see. That's what the problem is. Why would we be surprised about anything that's going on? We shouldn't be. Of all people in the world, we shouldn't be surprised. Because we hear and we don't hear. We see and we don't see. That's a problem. And the Lord Jesus said the same thing to the disciples and to the people in his day. Verse 16, if any man have ears to hear, let him hear. We miss things. I don't know how long ago it's been. I say it's probably been a year ago. Dad and Lynette gave us an air fryer. Anybody have an air fryer? Gave us the directions to it and everything. If you don't have an air fryer, it's great. It's great. It's the best way to make bacon there ever was. Easiest to clean up. I mean, we use it all the time. Best tater tot you ever had. We've had that thing. We use it regularly. She's made roasts in it, Brussels sprouts. I mean, it's great. It's great. We use it all the time. We get it out. We put it on the counter. I know how to use it. It's easy. And I got it out a couple of weeks ago. And I was warming it up. You got to warm it up for 3 minutes before you use it. I've used it maybe 50, maybe more times than that. And I'm looking at it, and I told Kim, I said, this thing has got buttons on it, and it says that it dehydrates, reheat, and roasts. It's got four buttons, air fry, dehydrate, reheat, and roast. I told her, I said, I didn't know it could do them other things. I use it all the time. All the buttons are right there within a very small area of each other. And I press those buttons and use those buttons. But all this time I've used it, I've touched it, I've handled it, I've read the directions when we got the thing. But I didn't know it could do that. Now, if we can miss physical things, don't you think we can miss spiritual things? I'm not going to find too much fault with the disciples that they weren't standing there on the third day, because I guarantee you I've missed some things down through the years, and we might be missing something right now. You ever thought about that? I tell you, there's a great lesson in verse number 16. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. Some people hear, some people never hear. You know, rarely does anybody get saved the first time they hear the gospel. How many times did you go to church and hear the gospel before you really heard the gospel? You heard it, you heard the preacher, you probably even understood the message, but you didn't hear until you heard. You didn't see until you saw. It works that way in salvation. Some people, when they read the Bible, all they see is the Pharisees rebuking the disciples over hand washing, and that's all they see, and they're trying to understand what all this means. And some people, they come along and they can go to church for years and years and read the Bible, and they'll come along and they'll say, I don't know why there's so many different denominations. Don't we all worship the same God? Where have you been? You ever hear people supposed to be in church, supposed to know the truth, and they'll make some of the most off-the-wall statements you ever heard in your mind? Where have you been? I think you've been hearing, but you've not been hearing. Why is there so much confusion? Because Satan is the author of confusion. You read that, but do you really understand that? Well, I just don't know who to believe. Let me tell you what the Bible says in the last days, that men shall be deceivers and shall be deceived. That is why you don't know what to believe right now, because we're living in an age of deception. Even the people that are supposed to know don't know. Deceiving and being deceived. It's what the Bible says. Now, look, the Lord Jesus Christ did not try to convince every person right there and then. And a lot of times in this life, if you're not careful, you can get caught up and you'll be a miniature Sean Hannity. You'll be a miniature Tucker Carlson. You'll be a miniature, you know, newsman, and you're trying to convince everybody of your point of view, and you know, you'll be all the other ones out there. Let me tell you, you're wasting your breath. Jesus just said this: if any man has ears to hear, let him hear. Not everybody has ears to hear. Jesus could have spent his whole ministry in one place arguing every day with the same group of people and never gotten anywhere, but he didn't do that. He went on down the road to the next person. They might hear and really hear. They might see and really hear. Some people, no doubt in my mind, there will be some people that will hear this message today. Might be here in the church, might be on Facebook. But do you know all they'll get out of it? Is a new air fryer. Amen. They'll go home and say, "Preacher seemed to really like his air fryer. I think we ought to get one." Said that's the best way to make bacon. I can make fun of how Southern people talk because I am one. But I don't like it when other people do. Somebody made fun of something I said yesterday. I thought, you know, that's really hurtful. I try to enunciate. I can't help it. That's all some people will get out of. It's all they heard. I think we need a new air fryer. I think we need to try that. Didn't hear nothing else. Am I right? I've had people. I mentioned Bluebell ice cream once or 50 times. I bet everybody in here has tried Bluebell ice cream. Might have some this afternoon. But then thirdly, I got to move on. There's a perceiving problem. Look at verse number 17, what the Bible said. And when he was entered into the house from the people, did you see what happened there? He leaves the people. He comes into the house. His disciples ask him concerning the parable. Do you think the Lord Jesus ever just shook his head? Good grief. Good grief. The Pharisees don't get it. The people don't get it. And the disciples, no doubt, were acting like they understood exactly what Jesus was talking about. I can just see them all standing there. Yep, that's right. Amen. Amen. You tell them, Jesus. When they got in the house, they said, let me ask you, what was you talking about? What in the world was you talking about? I believe there's many times the Lord Jesus shook his head. And I believe today there's many times the Lord Jesus is still shaking his head. What is wrong with them disciples? They ask him, look what the Bible said in verse 18. I'm going to read down through verse number 23 and try to explain as I go. One more time. Pharisees didn't get it. The people didn't get it. All right, disciples, verse 18. And he saith unto them, Are ye so without understanding also? You don't understand either? Do ye not perceive? That's where I get that word. This is a perceiving problem. Do ye not perceive that whatsoever thing from without entereth into the man, it cannot defile him, because it entereth not into his heart, but into the belly, and goeth out into the drought, purging all meats. What Jesus is saying right here, he's saying if you eat beef or pork or sushi or shrimp or whatever it is, and you didn't wash your hands, that does not defile you, because it goes into your belly, and what goes into your belly comes out. You say, preacher, you shouldn't have said that. That's what Jesus just said. What we eat does not defile us. It cannot defile him, verse number 18. That's why I was talking and promoting eating bacon. I know the Jews didn't eat bacon, but praise the Lord, I'm not a Jew. I like bacon. Verse number 20, and he said, that which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed, and there's 13 things here. Evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man. May I say this morning that all of our problems are really just heart problems. That's the problem. The Pharisees' problem was a heart problem. I think it's mentioned in verse number 7. No, verse number 6. The last part, this people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. They had a heart problem. The people that couldn't hear, they just had a heart problem. The disciples that still couldn't understand, they got a heart problem. We look around at society today and man, there's a lot of problems. A lot of problems. You know, abortion, it's a problem. It's a heart problem. It's a heart problem. That somebody would go there and not think, and well, that's a heart problem. Racism in our country today, I mean, it's on the news. Do you know what that is? That's a heart problem. When they, in World War II and before that, when they persecuted the Jews, you know what that was? That's a heart problem. When they persecuted the Polish people, that was a heart problem. When they put the mentally handicapped people and the homosexual people and all of them to death as well, that's a heart problem. Murders is listed here in these verses and hatred. It's heart problem. We got heart problems in our country. Hatred of others, no matter who it is. Man, our country is filled with hatred. I don't think it's as bad as the news makes it out to be, but boy, the news sure doesn't help any. I really think there's people in our country that no matter what color they are, they love each other. They realize we're all, you cut us, we all bleed. All this hatred, all this division is a heart problem. A heart that is set against the Lord Jesus Christ and the truth of God's word and the Bible and righteousness and good. Is there not a lot of hatred towards those things? It's a heart problem. Hatred. Not being saved is a heart problem. It's easy to stand here this morning and talk about the news and talk about the country and everything else, but let me tell you, if you're listening to this message, if you're here today and you're not saved by the grace of God, and you say, why not? You've got a heart problem. The Bible says in Acts 17 and 30, it says, in the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. God commands us to repent. Why wouldn't you repent? Why wouldn't you get saved? Why don't you hear? Got heart problem. Not being saved is a heart problem. In Acts chapter number 16, the Philippian jailer there, and he saw what happened with Paul and Silas, and there's an earthquake, and he has a sword, and he's getting ready to kill himself because these prisoners are going to get loose. And that was his punishment. He's just going to go ahead and speed up the process. And Paul come in and said, we're all here. You remember that? And he said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And he said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved in thy house. That is a positive command that God gives each and every one of us. You need to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Why wouldn't you do that? Got a heart problem. Pride, foolishness, not listening. Not believing, faithless, all the problems that we have. We say, oh my, we have so many problems. Not really. We just have one problem, and it's a heart problem. And we've all got the heart problem. And it's just like the Lord Jesus Christ when the disciples come to him here in verse 17 down through the end of the chapter. It's just like Jesus in dealing with all these problems. And he said, don't you understand? It's like he's saying to them, all these problems, I'll tell you what the problem is. It's heart problem. And it comes from within. He's talking about our heart. Not our boom, boom heart, but the inside of man. What we are on the inside, we got a problem. We got a sin problem. Now, the blessing in all of this. And there is a blessing in all of it. The blessing is that all of our problems really aren't as complicated as we make them out to be, because they're all just one problem. So no matter who you're dealing with, you don't have to convince them of your point of view. You just have to show them from the Bible. I'll tell you what your problem is. It's a heart problem. You hate the president? I'll tell you what your problem is. It's a heart problem. You hate your neighbor? I'll tell you what your problem is. It's a heart problem. And there's a lot of hate. You think you're pretty good and you don't need to be saved? I'll tell you what your problem is. You got a heart problem. You got pride. Full of pride. You don't want to hear what the preacher has to say? I'll tell you what your problem is. It's a heart problem. And on, we could go. Does anybody know anybody and they got all kinds of problems in their life and in their marriage and in this and in that? I'll tell you, the problem is it's a heart problem. And the blessing in that being just one is that we know somebody that can give you a new heart. And that's what it's going to take for our problems to be solved in this country. And the Old Testament talks about this problem of a new heart. Jesus, or the Old Testament through the prophet Ezekiel, is talking about the nation of Israel. And Ezekiel prophesied in chapter 36 and verse number 26. He said, a new heart also will I give you. You Pharisees, you Jews, I'll tell you what your problem is. It's a heart problem, but I'm going to give you a new heart. If you're here today and you're lost without the Lord Jesus, I'm telling you what the Lord can do for you. He can give you a new heart. If you're here today and you say, my goodness, I'm full of bitterness and I'm full of this and that, I'll tell you what, he can change your heart. Romans chapter 10, verse number 9, the Bible says, if we confess the Lord Jesus and believe with our heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. I love this in the book of Proverbs. It says over there, my son, give me thine heart. You know, sometimes saved people need to give the Lord their heart. You say, I know I'm saved, but I've got this and this and this and manifesting the works of the flesh. You know what? You need to give him that. You need to give that to him. I was talking with somebody a while back about forgiveness. Sometimes you just need to forgive. You'll never get over something until you do, whether the other person knows it or not. Just forgive them. Just turn it over to the Lord and say, I'm just forgiving them. It's like a weight being lifted off. He'll change your heart. He can change our heart. Whatever our problems are, he's able to fix it, and he fixes by working on the heart. Outside conditions may not change a bit, but if you get your heart right, you'll be amazed how it fixes things. I'd like for us this morning to have our heads bowed and our eyes closed. We need to pray our nation has a heart transplant. We need to pray for the hearts of our leaders. We need to pray for the hearts of our churches and our people and on, and our families and our children. Heart problems. Heart problems. I'm going to ask the ladies to come, and after I pray, we're going to stand and sing together. Maybe you're here today and God spoke to your heart. Maybe you want to come around this altar. The altar's still open if you want to pray. Maybe you need to pray right where you are, that the Lord would help us. Father, we come today, and I want to thank you for your many, many blessings that you've given us. And Lord, I pray and ask that you would take the message and use it to speak to our hearts. I mean, really, speak to our hearts. How we think about things and look at things. Lord, help us to look at it through your eyes. And we'll see things a whole lot differently. Help us not to be dull. I know, Lord, you said the disciples were dull sometimes. Help us not to be dull spiritually. Help us to have ears that really, really hear. And help us to have a heart that wants to help our fellow man and our country and our neighbor and our nation. And we'll thank you for what you do. Please save that one that is maybe even today under conviction and knows that they're lost. Knows that if they died, they'd not go to heaven, they go to hell. Lord, they're just not hearing somehow. Lord, would you open their ears, their eyes, help them to really see. We'll thank you for what you've done and what you're going to do. We ask it in Jesus' name, and amen. All right, let's come to our feet this morning.